Thank you so much, Sarah, and I'll say, and Howie also for opening up. But Sarah, thank you so much for hosting tonight. Here we are a little bit over a week from Pesach, and I wanted to just continue what we started last week to really set the tone for Seder night, for the understanding of what we're doing. Last time we didn't really speak about any stages in the Seder. We spoke a little bit about Kiddush B'Makom Suda of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that Shaila. Why is there no hefsek between the Kiddush and the Hamotzi? But tonight we wanted to actually get into a little bit of the Seder itself, to talk about the Arba Kosos, to talk a little bit about, I think, one of the most underappreciated steps of the Seder, which is Yachatz. The whole Seder is really all about Yachatz. And I don't think we said it before, although I really don't remember. I have a whole thing of notes, and I'm going through, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I said this before, but we're going to share it tonight and try to get ourselves ready for, again, the night that is Laila Kayom Yor, the night that shines like day. Just a special shout out and welcome, of course, back to Ariella, who is here from Eretz Yisrael, bringing some of the light of Israel. She was one of the stalwarts of this year in times when we didn't have so many people around the table. Ariella was always one of the two, maybe, that was there. Even if her mother didn't make it, you know, she was there. Kol hakavod. So it's good to learn with you back in person again, Ariella. So I wanted to talk tonight about the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is the famous source in the beginning of the 10th parak of Psachim, Arvi Psachim, that tells us about the Arba Lashono Shel Geula, right? We have four cups corresponding to the four expressions of redemption that we find in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era. And we will talk about that in a little bit, but I wanted to talk about another pshat that is found in the Arba about why we have Arba Kosos. And it's very interesting. Baruch Simon talks about this in his Sefer, and he points out that the Yerushalmi tells us that there are four times in Parshas Vayeshev where the Sar HaMashkim refers to the coast of Paro. What? What's that talking about? Four times the Sar HaMashkim talks about the coast Shel Paro? What does that have to do with the Arba Kosos at Seder night? Again, it's a nice allusion to it, but this is the reason why the Chachamim established to have four kosos at Seder night, because of the Arba Kosos, the four times the Sar HaMashkim says Kos Shel Paro. It seems very arbitrary. It seems very strange. What, you're going to tell me that the Sar HaMashkim's dream was on the night of Pesach? Okay, we're not going to go that far. We're not going to get into that. But Rabbi Simon brings down a beautiful idea. Rabbi Rasner also has a similar idea in his Agadah. A lot tonight is based on Rabbi Rasner's new Agadah. Rabbi Simon points out that when the Sar HaMashkim keeps saying Kos Paro, Kos Shel Paro, Kos Paro, Kos Shel Paro, what does Yosef realize? That the Sar HaMashkim is once again going to serve Paro. You know why? Because what you dream about is really what you want in the deepest way. You have such a vivid dream that the Kos Shel Paro, and when he's telling over the dream, it's the cup of Paro, the cup of Paro. I was holding the cup of Paro. I squeezed the grapes into the cup of Paro. I presented the cup of Paro. So Yosef said, that's what this person really wants. And if this person really wants, he's going to get back there. The Saro from the baker doesn't really talk about Paro's bread at all. He doesn't really mention serving Paro. And so we see the Yerushalmi's telling us that the Chachamim were Mesakin, the Chachamim established having four cups at Seder night, corresponding to the four times it says Kos Shel Paro. Why? Because what's Seder night about? Seder night is, of course, about uncovering our deepest ratzon, our deepest will. What is it that we really, really want? Right? That's why we've said in the past the idea of having the four cups of wine, that with each cup, what happens? Nichnas Yayin. Yatzah Sod, the secret comes out, cup after cup after cup after cup. You know, one year I was very inebriated at the end of the Seder. It was not good because I decided I wanted to use Yayin She'enu Mevushal, like Chumra, like the Rambam. My father told me, you're crazy. You're so frum. You need a yayin shein mavushal. Everyone used yayin mavushal. What are you doing? So by going against my father, that's what happened to me. Because in Springfield, on Erev Pesach, what yayin shein mavushal could you find? This is before the wine library was like massive. It was like, remember, it was a little store? So you found glass Malaga bottle, you know, like, and that's what I had 4 cups of. I mishul the next morning. It was like, yeah, it was very embarrassing. When some people stop by, they're like, is the rabbi okay? And Leah's like, what should I tell them? The rabbi's hung over? Like, what do you want me to tell them? You know? But yeah, so no, that's what you get punished when you don't listen to your parents. You hear, Ariel? That's what happens when you don't listen to your parents. That's what you get punished with. But the truth is, the idea of the Arba Kosos again and again and again on Seder night is, what do you really want? What is your deepest desire? And when, again, we know what the end, remember we spoke about it last week, what's the end of the Seder supposed to be? Shir HaShirim. That's the end of the Seder. The end of the Seder is Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li. That's the whole end of the Seder. That we're going to be standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod, as we said last week, going through the 15 steps between us and the Pamal Yishol Malam. And so therefore, the Yerushalmi is telling us that, you know what the Arba Kosos are about? The Arba Kosos are about discovering the real you. And so often, when we talk about Pesach, we talk about setting ourselves free. We've spoken about this in the context of Shovavim, but really, so often, are we our true selves, or are we slaves to different things? What are you a slave to? How often, you know, the number one thing that I think people are slaves to are other people's perceptions of them. You know, that's not what we're supposed to be a slave to. On Seder night, that night, the 15th of Nisan, what happened? Don't forget, that's when the Medrash tells us Paro was running around Goshen, screaming out what? Lo avodahim, avdechahim. Screaming out to Hashem, they're not my slaves, they're your slaves, I don't want them. Because he couldn't find Moshe and Aaron to tell them to leave. So Paro was just declaring in the midst of the Jewish community, they're not my slaves, I don't want them. They're yours, God, you take them. And so that's what Seder night is about. Seder night is about really discovering who we are in the deepest way. And Yosef saw that in the Sar HaMashkim's dream. When the Sar HaMashkim was saying, Kos Shel Paro, Kos Paro, Kos Paro, Kos Paro, Yosef knew, Ein davar omid b'fnei rotzon. B'derech sh'adam rotzei leilich, malichin oso. The path that you really want to go on, God's going to take you on that path. So Seder night, what is it that you really want? And that's part of the preparation for Seder night. Right? Seder night, Hashem pours such divine blessing into this world for us to catch, for us to grab hold of. We have to try to make sure that we make ourselves the proper receptacle to receive that blessing and to take that blessing into whatever degree that we can. There is another important lesson that Rabbi Rosner brings down about the Arba Lashono Shel Geula. In a couple of different Haggadahs, you have this idea that there are 4 different types of persecutions that the Jewish people are always subjected to. There's physical persecution. There's financial persecution, there's social persecution, and spiritual. The stages it normally goes in is first they make fun of our religion. Your religion is so backward. Your religion is so crazy. And then there's some subtle social discrimination that takes place that, oh, Jews can't get into certain country clubs, Jews can't be part. I mean, that's ironic, right? We're learning that just down the road from a country club that didn't let Jews in until recently. Right, I think they have like 1 token Jewish member in Baltusrol. Just down the block from us, the golf club, right? The next is, of course, financial, that Jewish businesses are boycotted. Anyone ever hear of something called BDS? Anyone who does business with a Jew, with a Jewish state, is going to be boycotted. And the last is, of course, the physical abuse, the physical persecutions. And the 4 cups that we have on Seder night, at each stage of the Seder, corresponds to one of those different types of persecutions that we're subjected to. What was the first type of, how does it normally start? By saying that your religion is so backwards, you're so anachronistic, what are you doing? Observe and choose, right? I told you the story of a Talmud who was in Harvard. And, you know, a lot of times he wore a baseball hat. You know, one time he's walking around with his yarmulke on, and a classmate stops him and is like, "You're an Orthodox Jew," knew enough of it, like, "That's crazy. You're so smart. Like, how are you an Orthodox Jew?" And he said, it's like, would you stop any other minority and say that to them? Like, how are you that? Are you crazy? Like, what? You're a Muslim? You insane? You're a Christian? What? Like, oh my gosh. But somehow, Orthodox Jews, that you could just, you know, say whatever you want to an Orthodox Jew about the religion. So what's the first cup? What's the first cup of wine? That Kaddish. Sanctification. Spiritual. What's the second cup? The second cup is said over Magid. What's Magid? Magid is from Avadim Tayinu to B'nei Chorin. So therefore, that's the elevation of our social status, that we're no longer the second-class citizen as Avadim Hayinu. But over Magid, telling the story, Maschil B'ginus, U'Mesayim B'Shvach, we begin with the degradation and we conclude by speaking of the elevated status of the Jewish people. The third cup of wine is said over what stage of the Seder? Benching, Barech, financial persecution. Barech, the physical blessing that we can have a beautiful Suda. Thank you, Hashem, for the physical blessings, the financial blessings that we have in our life. And the last cup is poured right after we say what? Right before Hallel, not to God forbid, my wife's always right. But Shvocha Mascha, Alagoyim Mesher Lo Yedu'ucha. Talk about physical persecution. Talk about Shvocha Mascha, Alagoyim Mesher Lo Yedu'ucha. Can you imagine, right, what the Jewish people have been through in the past century? What Shvocha Mascha? There was a survivor at Masburg who passed away. We spoke about him. One of his kids was interviewed, and I think he said that, and maybe he told me this also at the Feldman Shiva, that he would wear his concentration camp uniform at the Seder, right? That he would take it out, and he would, like, you talk about a powerful reminder, a stark reminder of Shvocha Mascha L'Goyim Mashar L'Yiduucha. But we say, we pour the cup for Eliyahu HaNavi, we open the door and we say, Shvocha Mascha L'Goyim Mashar L'Yiduucha. And then we pour that last cup over Hallel, that's really about the future redemption. The day when the Jews won't have to worry about physical persecution. The day when the whole world will recognize the truth of Torah, the truth of Hashem, and the truth of the Jewish people, right? It's going to be a time that everyone's going to want to be a Jew. Can you imagine that? Everyone's going to want Pesach, right? Now, Marilyn, you can't imagine. But there will be a day. The great day is coming, we hope, very, very soon. That's what everyone's going to want. But it's so interesting when you think about the four major types of persecutions that the Jews are subjected to, from spiritual, social, financial, and physical. Mamish, each one of the cups corresponds to one of those things. Redeeming it, lifting it up, unlocking it. And so that's just the beginning. That's Kaddish, but that's really a structure that goes, of course, throughout the whole Seder. The Arba Kosos are really the structure for the whole Seder. Obviously, four has many other connotations. As the Medrash said, it's connected the imahos, it's connected the level of souls, which should certainly make sense when we talk about Kosparo. What is it that you really want? Four levels of soul to unload each layer, right? To go from nefesh, ruach, neshama, to chaya, that highest level of soul that we can access here in this world, to what is it that we really, really want? But when I wanted to talk tonight also is about yachatz. Because Yachatz is a stage of the Seder that it's like, you try to make it exciting, and it's like, cha-cha! Ta-da! Right? And if you're really good, you play the game. Okay, which one is bigger? What just happened? Yachatz! Ooh! Truth is, the whole Seder is about Yachatz. The whole Seder is about Yachatz. We know, we spoke about it in the Navi Shir, the Shabbos. Don't worry, Fran, I'm not going to test you. Don't worry, Rachel, I'm not going to ask you. But we spoke in the Navi Shir on Shabbos that it was very common. Many Nevi'im were told to use physical props to demonstrate a prophecy that's going to come true. whether it was Yirmiyahu, whether it was Hosea, whether it was Yechezkel, right? And of course, the Mefarshim debate, did this really just happen? Was this all a mashal? Someone had to marry a heart rate? Like, what was going on here? Machlokas Rishonim, was this real? Was this not real? The overwhelming majority of Rishonim view that these props were real, that the Navi had to do this. And why? The Ramban talks about this. The Rambam, that a physical item almost like grounds the Nevuah, almost like makes it real. There's those that explain Yachatz is the same thing. Because what's Yachatz really all about, right? You're breaking the matzah, right? It's so anticlimactic. Like, this is a stage of the Seder. It's the whole message of the Seder. Because what are the two halves? We know that classically, if you look at most Haggadahs, why do you break it? Because you have to have poor man's bread. Halach mani. We're about to say halach mani over what? Over the half of matzah, right? That's what we say. Because a poor person, madarko shel ani beprusa, just like a poor person normally only eats a piece of something, because what do? They break off a piece, they eat now, and what do they do with the rest of it? They save it for later. So mamish, that's, some say we're role-playing, getting ready for halach ma'anya. But others say that really yachatz is about one of the most fundamental beliefs of the night. And really, you could argue the most important aspect of the night, that the night of the Seder is to get us ready for what? For the Geula Asida, to instill within us a deep, deep yearning for the ultimate redemption. When we break the matzah into two halves, there has to be a larger half and there has to be a smaller half. Don't try and break it equally. You know why? Because the Navi tells us that the Geula Asida, the ultimate redemption, is going to make the Geula from Egypt look like child's play. Can't imagine what it's going to be, right? Although, if you use your imagination, right, you can probably think of pretty good scenarios, but the Geula Asida is going to make Yetzias Mitzrayim look like child's play. People won't talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim after the Geula Asida, the Gemara tells us, at the end of the first parak of Brachos. It's going to be that amazing. And so, when we break that matzah in half, you know what, into two pieces, we put one piece on the table, the smaller piece, the lechem sha'unna lov dvarim harbe, the bread that you're going to be saying a lot of words over, that's the broken smaller piece. Why? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're about to discuss over Magid, that was the smaller redemption. The bigger redemption, the redemption that will be, the Geula Asida, that bigger piece, where does that go? That's hidden. It's often, and it's put away. You only get it at the end of the night. The first half of Hallel, right? Hallel is broken up into two halves. Why? We say part of Hallel at the end of Magid. That's the Hallel over the past, over Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hayom Rav Ayonos, Hayar Denisov Liachar. But the second part of Hallel is not talking about what happened in Egypt anymore. That second part of Hallel that we say after benching, that's all about the Geula Asida. That's about Evan Masu Abonim Haisal Rosh Pinam, Esa Shem Haisa Zosin Flos Beinenu, Zahayoma, about all that's going to happen. Ana Shem Oshiana, Ana Shem Atzlichana. That we know this is going to be, and we have faith that it's going to be. And that's really why we take the bigger piece, we hide it, we put it away. Shlomo Karlbach famously says, I think this we said years ago. That's why it's the role of the children to bring it back. Because who are the ones? Kantriyasi said, it's going to be the Kinderlach, right? We know. But we know that it's going to be the kids. The Hevel Tinok, the Hevel Piem shall Tinoko shall be Rabban. Hevel Piem, the heat of the mouth of the children. You know, when I learn with the little kids on Shabbos, I tell them, your davening is going to bring Mashiach, not mine. Your mitzvahs are going to bring Mashiach, not mine, right? And that's why the kids go and bring it. Just like we've said many times before, when Hashem asked for a guarantor for the Jewish people before giving the Torah, they first tried to say the Avos and the Imos. Hashem said, no, thank you. They said the Nevi'im. Hashem said, no, thank you. It was only until they said who?
Children.
Our children. Then Hashem said, now I'm going to give you the Torah. Okay. And also a Dover. It's the same thing about the Geula Asida, about the Geula that will come. That it's going to be the children. And that's going to be much bigger, but now it's hidden. And the truth is, I don't remember if it was Rav Meilich Biederman or who pointed it out, but so often Yachatz is all about our life, right? It's not only about the Geula Klalis, but it's the Geula Pratis as well. It's the private redemptions, the personal redemptions. How often we're facing matzah, mitzui, kia natsuad nashim yachtav, we're facing some type of struggle. Matzah is a lashon of struggle. We don't realize that. It's a lashon of struggling with another, right? Because why matzah? You're constantly working that dough. You're constantly struggling. The matzah dough is never left idle. It's always, everyone's working with it every second. Someone's rolling it. Matzah is a lashon of mitzui, a lashon of being pressed, of lachatz, of a struggle. And so too often in life, there's a broken matzah. There's a struggle, but we're only seeing a little piece of the struggle that we're in. The bigger piece, that's a tough one, that's hidden. Right? We're in so many of the tzaras that we have faith that there will be that bigger piece of matzah. There is that geula asida. It's not only about the whole world that needs to be redeemed. Every individual needs redemption on some level. And so therefore, when we talk about yachatz, there's something in front of us that might be broken, but understand there's something much bigger. It's part of something much greater. And that's also one of the fundamental messages of Seder night. And that's why yachatz is the perfect introduction to Halach Manya. We've spoken many times about Halach Manya. Halach Manya is so problematic on so many levels. First of all, the most obvious thing that confronts us when we say Halach Manya is that it's in Aramaic. It's not in Hebrew. There's only one and the other thing in Aramaic in the whole Seder. What's that? Chargadia, the end of the Seder, right? It's, the mystical across, the mystical poem that obviously is not to be taken literally, but there's much deeper truths in the Vilna Gaon and so many others talk about Chargadia, right? But Halach Ma'anya, we're starting Magid. The night is all about using our mouth. And it's starting in Aramaic. Nothing else is in Aramaic. Nothing else. And what do we do during Halach Manya? This whole night is about, we're free. How do we end Halach Manya? Hashata hacha, l'shana hababa arad Yisrael, hashata avde, l'shana hababa nechorin. Now we're really slaves, but next year we're going to be free. Now we're stuck in New Jersey, except for those that will be in Yerushalayim. Or it's stuck in Tampa, or wherever, stuck in Ramat Beit Shemesh, friend. Wherever we're stuck. But next year, we'll be having karbanos in Yerushalayim, right? Like, 1 second, I don't understand. I thought the whole night is about being free. I thought the whole night is about, we're free, we're having karban Pesach. What? No, we're not. Psych. No, wrong. What? So Rabbi Ginnack, who was a Rebbe of mine in the Sefer Gan Shoshanim, he has a beautiful, beautiful hesber of Halach Ma'anya. And he gives a mashal. He says, there's a guy who's been in jail for 20 years. He's getting out the next day. They dress him up. They tell him to get ready. They give him a shave. But aval omid ba'od yom latzeis l'cheiris. The next day he's going to go free. But you have another guy that he was judged, Leos Tophos Beves Asurin, Avaladayim Lo Asur Osobekela. Another guy, he was sentenced. He's going to start a 50-year sentence, but the next day. That last night, who is the free person and who is the prisoner? Right? The person in jail is free. He's out the next day. And in his mindset, he's good. The person who's at home, but he knows the next day he's going in for 50 years and the police are outside. He can't go anywhere. He's a prisoner, right? Rabbi Ginnack says, what we have to recognize is that it all matters on your focus and your perspective. And he says, this is what the Baal HaGadah is being metaretz. How many years? I mean, look, Baruch Hashem, the chesed of America, the blessing of the Jewish community today is staggering. It's unbelievable. But think about the siddurim that took place not too long ago, right? I think about, one of my heroes that he was here once for Shabbos. Maybe we'll just bring him back because I just want to spend more time with him. Yosef Mendelovich, literally a legend. The guy's a legend. Like trying to hijack a Russian airline. What a legend, right? So he tells a story about the time he had a Seder in the Gulag in Siberia. And like what he tried to do. And one time, like crazy, one time they were bribing a Russian guard with chocolate to get them flour, to get matzos, and they gave him a piece of chocolate, and he's like, no matzos for you, sorry. They gave him another piece of chocolate. He's like, okay, I'll get you, not the flour, I'll get you actual matzos, because there were matzos around their bites, used to send to Russia, used to smuggle into the USSR. And the guy comes back, gives him a box of matzos, they open it up, it's empty. And Yosef Mendelovich said, you know what they did? They ate the box. They ate the box. They ate the box. That's what the Jewish prisoners did. Like, can you imagine a Seder like that? Halach ma'anya. Hashata hacha l'shana ba ba'arad Yisrael. Hashata avde l'shana haba b'nei chorin. What's it all about? It's all about your perspective. It's all about the focus of where do you want to go? What are you set on? That's really the key. It's all the mindset. And Rabbi Rosner, he brings down that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach pointed out that this also answers a very famous question. Why the night of Kol Nidre, we scream out, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Ve'ed, like we're Malachim, but right after Ne'ilah, we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam quietly. One second, when are you holier? At the beginning of Yom Kippur Kol Nidre, when you're burping and your stomach is so heavy, you're like, oh my gosh, not that the voodoo wasn't awesome, but you're over it, I over it, right? And you're like, you know, or after 25 hours of fasting, and you feel like you're in a different place, and you have to say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam quietly? Why? Because in Kol Nidre, where are you? You're headed into Yom Kippur for 24 hours. On Motzi Yom Kippur, where are you? You're headed into that Tropicana orange. You're headed into that bagel. You're headed into that big ziti. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's all about your perspective. You begin Yom Kippur, you're focused. You're not there yet, but your direction, your perspective is, I'm going to be a malach for the next 24 hours. But Motzi Yom Kippur, you're in a very, very high holy place. You just finished Ne'ilah. But you're thinking about the bagel, the Tropicana, and the Beg Ziti, right? And so therefore, Seder night, it's all about what do you want and where are you going? This is the key to Seder night. And that's why it's so beautiful, so beautiful. Because what does Seder night begin? The next night after Seder. What starts the next day after Seder? Sfiras HaOmer. On Seder night, you're setting your course. On Seder night, you're getting your Ratzon HaPnimi. You're uncovering what it is that I really want. And that's why this is a night. V'gadta Levincha. Tell your children what you really want. Because sometimes during the year, your kids might not see it. For whatever reasons. But Seder night, let them see who you really are. Let them see what you really are about, what you really want. And that's when it starts a process. Seder night begins the ascent to Matan Torah, to Kabbalah Satorah, to the most important event in all of history. The most important event in all of history was not Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was a hechsher for the most important event in all of history, which was Kabbalah Satorah, creation 2.0. Right? And so this is why when we come to Seder night, we have to understand that it's setting us free in every level. Because even though there still is spiritual persecution of the Jewish people, even though there's still financial persecution of the Jewish people and social persecution, and yes, we might not feel it in Springfield, Baruch Hashem, but there's still physical persecution of the Jewish people. Whether it's in Crown Heights, whether it's in Williamsburg, these things do happen. Like, let's not pretend it doesn't. But on Seder night, what are we lifting our cups to? To knowing that Hashata Avde Lashana Abab and Echorin, that as the Jewish people, we're believers in the hope. And that's why, you know, famously, the story of the five Chachamim, why is that in the Seder? Again, a beautiful idea. I know we've shared before, but it's worth it to chazer over this idea and to review it over and over and over again. Right? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kifa, Rabbi Tarfon, Nesubin ben Bnei Brak. Why does it tell us? It was right after Avadim Hayinu, right? as Rav Rimon points out, right after the Manishtana, we give a quick answer, Avada Mayinu, because some kids can't sit forever. They need the answer right away. Avada Mayinu, okay, we were slaves, we got out. Great, can I go play? And let them go play. Those kids that can't sit, let them go, okay? Don't make them sit at the Seder for hours. Don't make them do that, right? That's why right after Manishtana, quick answer, Avada Mayinu, good, you're good. Then we say, and even if you're big, but Lamaisa, there's still a value in telling the story the whole night. And getting into it. And even if you're such great tzaddikim, like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kibra ben Tarfon, they spent the whole night being misaper. But the Haggadah tells us that. Where were they, famously? They're in Bnei Brak. Why? What's strange about them being in Bnei Brak? Because, right, if you remember, the main street in Bnei Brak is called Rehov Rabbi Akiva Street, right? Great, Maryland?
Great shopping.
Great, yes, there is. I don't know last time been in Bnei Brak. It's gotten even better, Marilyn. Trust me. Oh, no, that's it. So, why would they buy Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Lazar, right? So what's the famous answer that's given? Because Rabbi Akiva was the ultimate optimist. As the Gemara tells us at the end of Makos, that, you know, he was walking with two of his rabbeim. They saw the jackals running out of the Holy of Holies. They start crying. He starts laughing. Why are you crying? Why are you laughing? We're crying. Shualim Hilchava, Zara Karev Yumas, a non-Kohen Gadol walks in there dead, and now jackals are running around there? He says, that's why I'm laughing. Because just like that nevuah took place, the nevuah of restoration is going to take place. That's why we know Rabbi Kiva thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. Why did he think Bar Kokhba was Mashiach? When did the Bar Kokhba revolt take place? Close to 70 years after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Kiva, the ultimate optimist, thinks 70 years after Bayis Rishon was destroyed, we have Bayis Sheni. 70 years after Bayis Sheni is destroyed, we're going to have Bayis HaShlishi. But it doesn't happen. So the Rabbeim go to Rabbi Kiva because they needed Rabbi Kiva's optimism. But where did Rabbi Kiva get his optimism from? Famously, got it from his wife, Rachel. She was the one that told him, go learn Torah. You can be something. Right? Rabbi Kiva was 40 years old. He only knew the Aleph Beis. And his wife was the one that told him, you can be something. Go out. She ignited that hope in Rabbi Akiva, in her husband. And that's why, famously, when he comes back to his house with thousands of Talmidim and some crazy ladies trying to get at their Rebbe, and he's like, guys, everything I am, everything all you are, it's all from her. It's all hers, everything we are. Right? Because she lit that spark of hope in Rebbe Akiva. The Rebbeim are going to the Talmud in Bnei Brak because they needed his hope. That's the message of the Seder. That's the message of the Arba Kozlos. That's the message of Yachatz, breaking the peace. And when you put it, explain it, your Seder. Explain, you know why we're putting that big, that's the Gula Asida. Whatever brokenness we experience in this world, it's little. The true picture is the big piece that Hashem is hiding from us. That whether we get to see it now or after Mashiach, we're going to see that big piece. And that's why we start off Maggid. We set the tone for the night. Hashata avdei l'shana haba b'nei charon. Hashata hacha l'shana haba the arad Yisrael. Like, we're blessed that we're going to have a Seder without worrying about the non-Jews hearing us and who knows what they're going to do to us on Seder night. Can you imagine what it was not too long ago, less than 100 years ago? People that were mamish afraid for their life having a Seder. Can you imagine? I mean, 40 years ago, you know, before the Soviet Union, before the Iron Curtain fell, what it was to have a Seder in Russia in the early 80s. You were risking your life. That wasn't a simple thing to have a Seder. So we can have a certain calm to our Seder, but at the same time, it's supposed to supercharge us, to get us ready to believe and to hope and to go on that trajectory straight to a meaningful Kabbalah Satorah. And remember, v'zchus nashim nigalu, v'zchus nashim titkani sasidim nigal. It's in the merit of the holy Jewish women that we were redeemed from Egypt. It's in the merit of the holy Jewish woman that we will be redeemed from the future geula, future galus. And as many mefarshim say, the four cups are corresponding to the arba imos, because who creates the ratzon of the home? Who creates that hope? Who is the one that has the greatest koach? Or as they say in my big fat regretting, who like turns the head, right? I mean, who's the one that has them? It's the Akeres Habayis. It's the Akeres Habayis. And we should all be zocha. We should all be zocha that we can uncover that ratzon. We can find that hope. And I won't say Lashana Haba because it's still a week away. Lashana Zu, we'll all be with the wrestlers and the Gittin. We'll all be in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh having the Karban Pesach. Yishkoach. Yishkoach. Everyone for coming out on a rainy night. Yeah.